Good morning.
I'd like to start by welcoming everyone who's visiting today to worship with us. Welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Last Sunday was awesome. We had a great time, and God did amazing things, and I'd like to share some things that happened last Sunday. Amen. We were doing the missions, and we raised $91,471.38. Amen. We had 428 people here with us worship God, so that was awesome as well. Amen. We have a sister called Melvina visiting from Boston Church. Let's welcome her. There she is. Awesome. You know, after having a Sunday like last Sunday, we have to thank God for what He did, but also get busy in trying to reach out to those people and just follow up with them. Amen? If you think about it, that's a lot of people that came last time. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about that? And how are we going to make sure that we have a friendship, a relationship that shows Jesus to these people and not turn them into a project? They're not a project. They are people we'd like to build friendships with and help them to know God. Amen? So, let's talk about that today a little bit in this context. According to your faith, will it be done? This story comes out of the preceding story is that two blind men, they were blind since they were born, could not see Jesus, but had heard about what Jesus was doing in that city. And so they walked along and said, shouting, please, can you heal us? Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us and heal us. And then Jesus reaches out to them and says, do you believe I can do this? And they say, yes, we do. Then he says, according to your faith, will it be done? And sometimes as Christians, we like to quickly jump on that statement and says, my faith is not strong. And yet, I have used the metaphor of faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect to you what you need. We all have faith. The question is whether we have the right coordinates to that or the right password to that faith. We may be sitting here, but the passwords are not working with God, and that's what's going wrong. We're typing in, and it's just not connecting. It's not a lack of belief in God. It's that our password is not connected to God. We have a different view of who God is, or we use God. Some people in the Bible, like Thomas, yes, they had seen Jesus, but could not believe Jesus until they touched the place where he had been crucified and seen the wound. That's when they would have believed him. So they were with Jesus, but they did not have faith. In that story, Jesus says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. And then we have others that, like the centurion, who says, I'm a man under authority. If you say that my son will get well, just say the word and I will go and it will be done. And Jesus says, I have not seen a man of such faith. So both people were around Jesus. One responded, even though he was not even a believer, responded by saying, you know what, this is true. The other one was around Jesus a lot and could not believe until he saw. The question is not that faith is not accessible to us. It's how we view God. That's the issue. It's how we view God. Many of us are raised to believe that you have to see something to believe. That if you're just told something, it cannot be true. And so because of that, we have struggles to visualize what God can do. So we don't dream. We are afraid to put ourselves in the hands of God because we don't know how it'll pan out. And that's the very essence of faith. Trust God to lead you. According to your faith, will it be done? We had a lot of people come here last week. According to our faith, we can help a lot of people know God, but build friendships with them, come to know God, and God can use you, even though you're not sure how. He can. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. Well, it's not moving, or it's not. Okay, here we go. John 6, 41 to 44, we're going to talk about God does the drawing of people to him. When you talk about helping someone to know God, understand is that God has already done the job of trying to help that person come to him or to you already. That he works that stuff out, that you pray about it and God says, I'm going to work out a way for this person who's looking for God to meet this person that has the information. Does that make sense? And that has already been worked out. I know that that's true in my life. And if you think about your life closely, you'll see that God was working these things out for you already. So at this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? The story proceeds, Jesus feeding 5,000 people with bread. And that conversation is continuing about bread and food. So they come to Jesus and think they only came for food. And so he tells them about bread as a metaphor. And he keeps talking about it. And then says, stop grumbling among yourself, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up at the last day. I mean, think about it. Just think about it. If you look around, even just driving here and looking how the trees are green. And a few months ago, they were just like ghosts or something. And to see how that weather has transformed and how beautiful. They speak to you of God. If you look into the sky and how blue it turns and how amazing that is, it speaks of God. As you go to sleep and the rains come and how the winds blow, they speak of God. And as you go through your challenges and not knowing how things will pan out, and then God comes through, it's God speaking to you. But here's the deal. For some of us, we don't see God. We like to explain this stuff. It's God speaking to us. God does the drawing. See, every day God speaks to us in many, many, many ways. I've touched very little. I've used the universe to talk to us about God. But every day God is talking to you every second, every minute. The question is, how attuned are you to God? Or are you attuned to the worldly way of living so much that you've lost a connection? So when God is drawing you close to him, you're angry, resentful, and pushing towards God. What's going on in your life? God draws you. Angry people resent God. But God is trying to use that situation to draw you close to him. And here Jesus tells them, no one can come to me unless God draws them. So as Christians, we should not feel the pressure of helping people know God. Our job is to reach out and just tell them who God is. Share the testimony. Be vulnerable. Connect with them. Not judge them. Connect with them and tell them what God has done. That's where we must go with this stuff. When you understand that, God has already done the drawing. So because we're not paying attention to that, we may be passing people that are crying out for God. Why? Because we judge them. We don't see how God is drawing them to him. Why? Because we ourselves are not paying attention to what God is doing. We stop paying attention to that. We explain everything. We're self-focused. We're not God-focused. And God is drawing people to him. He does that. So he was trying to explain this to the Jewish people that, listen, no one comes to me unless you explain to them. They were all over the place. What about you? We know who you are. What are you talking about? We can do that sometimes. Instead of focusing on God, we get caught up in side stories. The bread, how can you tell us your bread? So understand this. God does that. All the people that were here last week, God did that. And you have to keep talking to them and see what God does with that. Does that make sense? Keep sharing. Bring them to your house. Have a meal with them. I was explaining to the brothers last Wednesday, please practice hospitality. That's how, as God draws them, bring them to your homes as well. People need to see who you are. It's not enough to say, I go to church. Well, there's a lot of people that go to church but live a funny life. It's not enough to say, you know, I've been a Christian for the last 20 years. There's a lot of people that have been Christian for the last 20 years but live a funny life as well. But when people come to your home and see how you treat your wife, see how you treat your children, see how you treat yourself if you're single, and how you live your life, and see how you operate, they're going to ask the natural question, why are you like this? And you can tell them, not in a proud way, in a humble way, how God has shown you what to do different. And you can tell them, this is possible. In a world that thinks it's not possible, you can say, God can show you what he has shown me in your life. Amen? So if God is already drawing people to himself, I guess we got to ask God to help us become workers. Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I want to stop there. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What do you see? What do you see when you see the crowd? When you meet people, what do you see? That he had an outflowing of compassion. He wanted to love them, touch them. What do you see? Do you see what you don't have and they have? Is that what you see? Do you see how miserable they are and you don't see how God can reach out to them? What do you see? You see, you've got to have compassion for people. This world has a lot of angry people. Angry people. I sit in many restaurants doing Bible discussions. And sometimes it's amazing. People will come and make an order, but they'll make an order as though they're at war with the cashier or whatever. They're like, why do you have to make an order like you're so angry? Not like the... it's an order. And I sit there and I look at that and says, that could be me. I'm not better than that guy. That could be me. But the point I'm trying to make is, do you have compassion? If you don't have compassion, probably you're judging and putting them away. And that's why it's hard to reach out and let them know who Jesus is in your life. So here's what he says. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They needed God. They were like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. You have to ask God for you to become a worker. You know, I love talking to new people. Some people, I tell them about Jesus. Some people, I just get to know. Yeah, I just have conversations. The other day I was talking to a gentleman, a little bit mature gentleman, we were talking about, and he was educating me about the weather in Georgia and telling me how the dam is full for the first time for the last 3 years. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. By the time, and I was reading a book. It says, I said, why are you reading that book? He says, I'm a minister. And he was trying to tell me, I don't read this kind of books. And I said, you know, you get it. This is good stuff. He went on and back and forth. Eventually he left, but I said to myself, I bet I'll meet him someday. I just need to keep coming here. And my point to that is that I built a friendship with that guy. By the time we were done, we were really talking to one another. That only happened because, not because I'm a better person, because I said to myself, let me just have a conversation. Who knows what God does with that? Church, we've bought into the American world of fear. We don't trust people. We keep to ourselves.
How can we be workers that don't talk to anyone? How can it be a worker that never speaks to anyone? We are afraid of everybody and anyone. Or he may have a God, he may do that. Say something to them.
You know, I'm happy to talk about God anywhere, any place. If somebody gets angry enough to shoot me, at least I was doing the right thing. I'm okay to go to heaven on that one. To go out like that, that's good. That's just my opinion. You don't have to take it. Maybe you don't want to go out like that. You want to go out sleeping. Who knows?
But my point is, why are we afraid? Why are we keeping to ourselves too much? It's not our role to draw them. It's God who does that. Then we've got to ask God, help us to be workers. Then we will start talking to people. And you cannot do that if you're not having compassion. You're afraid, you keep to yourself. You become a walker when you have compassion and you reach across the line. Talk to people who are not like you and just talk to them and have a good conversation.
You'll learn a lot about yourself, by the way. You'll learn a lot about yourself. But you also learn a lot about God by just doing that. But you got to ask God. So I have another question. When is the last time you prayed for yourself to be a worker? These are not guilty questions. These are questions to remind us of what God needs us to be doing with us. Does that make sense? So you got a friend that came out last week. Did you give him a call? Are you going to have some tea? Going to do something? Coffee? Get out for summer? You know, do some barbecue or all that stuff. It's not a winter. We can do barbecue, right? Last time I said that, I know you guys cracked up pretty hard on me. So, let's get this right. Ask God to help you to do it well. You cannot do it on your self-will. You have to ask God. Then He will lead you. I would share a story, but I don't have the permission yet. But I'll get to it someday. So, the point is we need to learn to ask God to become workers. Just ask, God, help me to meet people that want to hear about you. Help me to become a worker that can help people to hear your word. Once you ask God to make you a worker, we say the harvest is plentiful. That's not a problem. The people out there looking for God are plentiful. That's not a problem. The problem is us, a church. The church can run into a crisis in many ways. And because there are so many people that call themselves Christians and mess up the word of God, in some quarters, it's even seen as hatred. But if we stop judging and start loving people, it's very easy to help people to know God. So let's talk about this for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 7, what, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I believe that one of the reasons we have such a tough time telling anyone about God or trying to help people know God is because we make it about ourselves. It's about us. I did this. I did that. It says, oh, those people are just people being used by God. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. The reason we have such a hard time is because we rate ourselves. We keep rating ourselves. How many people have I talked to? Or how many people have I helped since I became a Christian? We keep going to this place. That is not your role. Stop rating yourself and make it about God. You water, you plant, and God makes it grow. So because we are in this salesmanship mindset of how much have I brought, we don't do well. Make it about God and see what happens. It's selfless. This place is selfless. You water, you plant, you don't know what happens. If you think about the idea that someone believes God because you told him about God, it's amazing. You cannot do that in your own ways. But I want to ask this question. When is the last time you planted seed, if you're a farmer? When is the last time you planted seed? You have a garden back there in your house. Do you have any seed down?
When is the last time you watered it? So many of us are getting out and fixing the lawn right now. We're working hard on it. We're being farmers a little bit here. But when we come to souls, we've got to do that regularly. We're just farmers. We plant, we water. That's a regular thing we do. It's not something we do to feel Christian. It's who we are. I don't have to do something to feel Steve. I am Steve. Of course, there are many Steves. You got to figure out which one. There may be a Steve C, a Steve G, a Steve Rocker, a Steve... Well, there are many Steves, you know. But I know which one I am. I don't have to prove that to myself. Because I am that person, I go to home to my dear wife, Carol. And I have my two girls. And I understand that. So that is not something I have to prove of. I just do. I go. I'm like, hey, good to see everyone. I'm a Christian. I don't have to prove that I'm a Christian. I go and talk about God because God has done too much for me to keep quiet. I mean, let's count our blessings for a moment here. I mean, you are here this morning. That's a blessing. You understand that? There are people in bed. They cannot even wake up. They need someone to help them. I mean, you're breathing without the help of a machine. That's a blessing. Now, some of you are coughing like myself with the pollen, but still we're walking around. It's a blessing still. Yeah, you have a job. That's a blessing. Now, you're going to tell me it doesn't pay enough. It's a blessing. You have a job. Start by having gratitude. Things will come together. You see, we've got to stop. We just water, plant, and God does the work. If you understand that, that's just a Christian life. There's no pressure about that. It becomes pressure when it's about me, when it's about you. But when it's about God, it's great. You don't know what happens. There are people that come and say, you know, did you know you talked to me about God 2 years ago? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. I'm glad you're here. The point I'm trying to put across here is this. Just water and plant. But that takes that you, yes, you're a worker, and yes, you talk about him, and yes, you build a friendship. Now, here's the deal, and I want to challenge us. Sometimes we talk to people. If they're not interested about God, we don't want to talk to them anymore. Really? I thought you really cared about the person. Now you don't want to talk about God. I don't want to talk to you anymore. First Corinthians 13. Love is beyond that kind of behavior. And I think that the reason some of us don't have friends is because we use people. That's using people. Because I don't want to be a Christian anymore, now you don't want to talk to me. Oh, I find out who your true colors now. I thought Jesus is Lord for you. Wow, no wonder Jesus gets a bad rap because of how we behave sometimes. We've got to go beyond, okay, they're not interested. What about having them in our homes? What about going to their weddings? What about going out with them? What about doing different things together? It's a friendship. I have so many good friends around the world that never made it. But when they're really stuck, they say, Pastor. I say, I never thought I was your pastor. I thought we're just buddies. They bring out that word when they really need a spiritual guidance. Oh, I don't know. You and I are friends. What are you talking about? Well, you need to do this and do that. I'm like, okay, I can do that for you. My point being, we've got to go beyond our personal interest and make it about God. If it's just about us, God is going to see through that and frustration is on the way. They may even come in and be gone in a short while because frustration is on the way. Our true colors will show once they come in. We just used them and left. Stop using people and walk with people. Love them for who they are. Amen? So after you've done all that, after asking, you got to do some seeking and knocking of doors, right? So you asked, after asking, seek and knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Question, how often do you ask God for anything? How often do you ask God for anything? I know you think it, but do you ask him and pray about it? I know you think it, but do you ask him and pray about it? Now, after you're done praying, you got to do some knocking of doors. Physically getting up and doing whatever you need to do, whether it's a job, whether it's someone becoming a Christian, whether it's marriage, whether it's children. You got to do what you got to do. Get involved. Do what you need to do in that area. Does that make sense? Start knocking and the doors will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I believe the answer is that simple. Ask, knock the doors, seek and you'll find. So the question is, are you seeking? We've talked about asking, praying, but are you seeking? Are you knocking the doors? If it's your marriage, are you seeking and knocking the doors to fix that? If it's parenting, are you seeking and knocking the doors to fix that? If it's your single life, are you seeking and knocking the doors to fix that? If it's helping someone to know God, are you seeking and knocking the doors to fix that? Whatever it is, are you seeking and knocking the doors? I've had Christians pray and do nothing. Now, I know some things you can just pray and wait. I understand that. But some things you got to do some more. Knock some doors and seek. And God will make it happen. After you've asked to be a worker, do some seeking and knocking off doors. And God will bring it about. But it's not just that we're seeking to help people to become Christians. We are... Lasting fruit is a result of a connection with God. How do we do that? So, John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's important to understand this, though, that we can do all the above, but if we are not connected to God, it does not function. You have to be connected to God. A connection is a place where you come alive to God. A connection is not that you read your Bible every morning. You may do that, but not come alive to that, to God. A connection is you come alive to God. You hear God's voice and start realizing, I have to make some movement here. Many of us have lost that a little bit. It doesn't flare in our lives. Let me ask, how many of us like music here? Let me just check. Okay, that's a good illustration. All right. Most of you don't like music. Try to imagine how this works. When your favorite song comes along, what happens? You're raising your hands, you're getting down. You're doing all kinds of things, right? Everything happens. Because somehow there's a connection to that music, right? You come alive. Similarly, the Bible has the power to do that to your soul. I kid you not, it has the power to revive a dead soul. You read it and feel meaning, purpose, direction like that. It's not the same thing as you read every morning and nothing happens. You read and you feel like, oh my goodness, I have a reason to live. So it's not the idea that you get there every morning. It's that there is a conversation happening between you and God. That you pray to him and he talks to you through scripture. I'm not sure that can happen every day, but it can happen pretty frequently. And the point I'm trying to put to you is that I am the vine, you are the branches. That's God, Jesus speaking. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This fruit is not just people getting baptized. It's everything. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, and other things that come with the fruit. It's just, I would not use the scripture just to say it's about being fruitful. It's everything in your life. Does that make sense? It's everything in your life. And this will come together if you're connected to God. So, connect to God and see what happens this week. I remember studying the Bible for the first time. And the person telling me, if you want your life to change for this week, just read your Bible every day and ask, why was it written? To who was it written? How does that apply to me? And how can I apply to it? And I did that for 1 week, and I felt so different, I never stopped reading. Yeah, the days I skip 2-3 days, but I'm on it, yeah. Oh, you thought the preacher might never skip some days? Just making sure we're real here, right? I'm not going to pretend. But I get on it. I'm pretty consistent. A few times that happened, but I'm pretty on it. You see, we go quiet when I confess stuff like that. Like, let's get real. Let's get over church playing. Let's stop church playing. Let's get real. We go in that place because we haven't dealt with yourself. So it's easy to say, how can you say that? Well, I can say that because the Bible says, confess your sins. What are you talking about? I can say that. But this is the point, though. We've got to connect. And to do that, you have to come up with a plan. What are you reading right now? What's the plan for your week? What's the plan for the month? You've got to have a plan. Don't just wing it. Let's see what happens. Maybe they, you know, just open whatever page and let's read what Jesus is saying today. I guess God wanted me to read this one today. No, we got to have a plan. Have a plan. Don't just wing it. Picky, picky, pongy. Here we go. No. Get to the right things. And ask yourself, what am I trying to do with God? Connect with God. And great things happen when you do that. What is your confidence level with Jesus? 1 John 5:13-15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. What is your confidence level when you ask Jesus? You know, my family and I have had many prayers, and I think it was my wife's idea to put this jar with prayer and put everything in. As a matter of fact, as I speak about, I'm remembering. We had done, for the last maybe 8 years or 5 years, all those prayers were answered, and I was asking her, where's that jar? I need to see it. I need some inspiration to see how God answers all that. And it's all put there. I said, we need to put other new ones, start a new jar again. And here's the deal. You may pray, some of the prayers I even prayed 2005 and were answered way later. I talked to a brother, said, you know, you told me this in 1994 and you did it 2003. I said, 1994, I told you that? He said, yeah, you stood up and said, this is going to happen. And then this happened in 2003. I'm like, my goodness, I forgot about that prayer. You see, here's our problem. We're in the Google world. We press, we see. Not with God. You may pray 2018. It may come to pass next year. 2030, 2050, if I'll be around, hopefully. Maybe be around. 2050, 2060, not sure about that. But that stuff comes to pass. Here's my question to you. Do you give up because your time frame does not allow it? Or do you give up, or don't you realize that God has a time frame? And that God is always on time. God is always on time. Now, I know I can say that very strongly. I'm not always like that emotionally. But I've come to a place to know that He's always on time. Even when I'm frustrated, God is on time. What is your confidence with Jesus? Are you trusting? What are you praying about? Are you trusting? Wait on Jesus. He will work it out. Meanwhile, have gratitude. Meanwhile, have faith. Meanwhile, keep doing what you're supposed to do and God will bring it about. Amen?
That's where we go with that. If it's helping someone to know God, some will take a week, some will take years, some will take months. Just do what you're supposed to do, amen? If it's work, stay with God. Whatever it is, stay with God. It will come about to pass, amen? Everyone has a part to play. Let's finish here. It's time to move on. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in the deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Everybody has a role to play in the church. Amen? Everyone has a role to play. The idea that you think of yourself as a guy that comes and just sits in the pew is not correct. You're part of the body of Christ. You're supposed to play a role in your family groups, in the church, in the different things that we're working together so that God's name is glorified. Does that make sense? So just in case you are trying to disappear behind the tables and somewhere else, come on out and let God use you, amen? Maybe you're good at just talking to people. When you come to church, talk to people. Maybe you're good at encouraging people. Do that. Maybe visiting, hospitality, do that. Do what God has given you, amen? God bless you.